Well, as you know, most of the songs today that we have sung have been about the church. So today, we are going to actually preach from Ephesians chapter 4 about that very subject. We're going to speak to you today about our church. Our church is a body. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And as we read this, I want you to keep your mind on the subject as Paul describes the church and how this pattern, how this involvement we're seeing here actually then patterns for us God's relationship to his local church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles. Their acts are recorded for you in the Acts of the Apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some preachers and teachers, or pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When we use the word church in the context of the Bible and what the Bible says about church, you know, the people have different impressions or different opinions about what that may mean. But as clearly as I can see from the scripture, you see that it means two things. On the one hand, the church is his body. And so every person that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and literally we become members of his flesh and of his bones, according to Ephesians 5:30. Well, if I could take you now to heaven, just momentarily, and take you before the throne of God, you would see Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God, and every person who is saved is in that body. It's a spiritual yet literal connection. We are members of his flesh and of his bones. That's the Bible. But then we also have local churches like Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, and other churches that you've attended and other churches that you can read about here in the scripture, like the Church of the Thessalonians when Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. So you have both the local church, which is what we're seeing here, and then the body of Christ, which is his literal body, over which, of course, Christ is the head. And I can remember when I was in Bible college training for the ministry, there was some confusion about this because there was also a teaching that said the local church is the body of Christ and that there is not a baptism by the Holy Spirit into this larger literal body of Christ, which is now seated at the right hand of God. And so to make a clear distinction, we were taught that the church, Christ's body, is an organism, and a local church is an organization. But I'm going to tell you, after years of pastoring, after years of reading the Bible and seeing, I would say that the local church is much more than an organization. It certainly is organized, but it too is an organism because it's made up of the people who are in the body of Christ, and this should function the same way the body of Christ does in a local church setting. And that's what we're reading about here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, obviously. That's stated in various places, not the least of which is Ephesians chapter 1. We won't go back there and look at it, but if literally we are members of his flesh and his bones, there's only one head, and that's Jesus Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the members. And Paul goes into great explanation. We're actually going to see this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about how we function as members in that body. And when new members are added to that body grows as more people are saved and brought into the family of God. So there are local churches, the Church of the Thessalonians, the Church of God at Thessalonica, the Church of the Ephesians. You read about these when you're in the Scripture. And that those local churches are not the building where they meet. I mean, if you drive by here sometimes when nobody's here, and you come by this location, you might point out to somebody that's with you, that's Bible Believers Baptist Church. No, it's not actually Bible Believers Baptist Church. You're Bible Believers Baptist Church, and this is the building where we happen to meet. So it's not really a location. Bible Believers Baptist Church is not really an organization, although we're organized and we have organizing documents that talk about how we function. But it's not that. It's not paperwork. It's not a name. It's not a building. It is we. We make up the local church. It is a local body of believers that function together. And according to the text we just read here, functionally, in verse 12, a pastor accomplishes some things through this setting that we're in right now. You see what he says there? Pastors and teachers in verse 11, right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what? There are people who have been helped by my preaching that are not here. They're in the body of Christ, but they're in a different city, or they're in a different church, even in this city. We have a radio broadcast, and there are people that have been helped by that. I get phone calls even still from people that said that this or that or the other thing has really helped me, and they're not in this local church. They're in the body of Christ. But as a pastor and as a teacher, God has allowed me to be a benefit to them in the body of Christ. But we all agree, the greatest effect of the work that I do is right here in your lives, not out there. The perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ, the work of the ministry specifically takes place more functionally right here, with all of us gathered here together. So, if we understand then what I've just said and what we'll see in the Bible, we have the body of Christ, of which we are members by salvation, having been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that body, and we are members one of another in this local church setting. So the things truly that God says about the body of Christ have great parallel to what we do here and how we treat the body of Christ corporately should govern how we treat the body of Christ locally. Is that right? And so there are things in the passage that give us instruction on what we should do now that we recognize that we are a church body. And the first thing that I see in the text that we're looking at, and I think I could draw more points than I'm going to draw, but I also learned something else after just a few. If you have to use more than one hand to count them, you won't be able to keep up. So we'll keep them, right? To know more than what you could count on one hand. The first thing that I see here that is of great importance is that we should unite our church body. Do you see this in verse 13? He says here, till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith. We should be consciously and consistently doing everything we can to keep ourselves together. Because there is somebody that likes to bust up what God likes to put together. People say in our country it's so sad that the divorce rate is 50% or whatever the number is these days, but we understand that there is adversity often in play there that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the home, and things going on in this generation are not making that more likely that the number will decline. Correct? Those pressures affect us as well, and we should be very, very conscious that we should function like the members of a body. Now, I want you to keep your finger where we are, because this is our text, but I would like you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now and show you that literally, in the body of Christ, we are members of His body, and when we're in a local church, we should function in the same way as a body. Okay, I've quoted verse 13 a couple of times for you, or at least a portion of it. So let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into how many bodies? Just one. Whether we Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, the foot can't use the fact that it's not a hand as an excuse to not have anything to do with the hand. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, no. That wouldn't be a cyclops. That would really be bad. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one. We're going to quote this verse again, so I just want you to look at it, verse 18. Now hath God set the members, how many? Every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. I honestly believe this. When you're here and you unite with this local church, you do so because God has directed you here. We don't press you about those decisions because we want you to be sure this is something the Holy Spirit is doing and not something that we're doing to press you. Okay? God sets the members in the body, everyone as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Let's just jump down to verse 25 real quick and we'll get to this point. That there should be no what? Schism. In the body. You know what a schism in the body is? Yeah, that's division. That's discord. That's where the body's not getting along with itself. You know what happens when your immune system is not functioning properly and you get an autoimmune disease? It's either overactive and it's destroying part of your body, or it's underactive and it's not protecting you. And that's like a schism. What you want is you want everything working properly and in concert, correct? So there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we, the people that are gathered here today that are members of Bible Believers Baptist Church, we make up the hands and the feet and the nose and the ears and the eyes and the mouth and so forth that God uses to accomplish His work. And I think that's a really a wonderful thing, because I look around here and I see people that have been here a while that are functioning very highly in a particular aspect of the ministry. And other members of the body should not be envious of what those people get to do, because you're not that person. But God didn't put you in the body to be that person. He put you in the body to be who you are. And He put me in the body to be who I am. And when we look at that, we're like, oh man, you know what I can do? I can support the work that you do. I don't have to fuss with you about it. And so God accomplishes His work. God is the head. Christ is the head of the local church. He sets the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. And what we've seen with this, and I've mentioned it before, but I'll say it till I die, or if I have a place to say it, you'll come see me. Is there any last words, preacher? I just want to say one more thing. As needs arise in our church, God always raises up the people to meet those needs so the body can function. And that's a beautiful thing. So we want to strive. Well, look at Ephesians 4:3. We want to do what he said here. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't come automatically. You work at it. You know, in families, there's such a thing as sibling rivalry, and if siblings continue to get along after the patriarch and matriarch are gone, it's because they have striven to work together to make it work. Okay? All right, so we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's very, very important that we're always conscious. I want to be supportive. I want to be united. This is my church family. And if there's something that's upsetting the peace, let's reconcile it to peace. Let's all, you know, the unity is preserved in the bond of charity. And charity covers the multitude of sins. That's a wonderful thing. So that's the first thing. We unite the church body. Here's another thing that we do in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth. Notice also back up here in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the what? Of the faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. Okay, so the second thing that we really need to do is we need to feed and protect our church body. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, first thing on the list is doctrine. So if you sense that there is an emphasis or a heavy emphasis on doctrine here, there's a purpose in it, and that's because you're fed with doctrine. That's what causes you to strengthen. That's what causes you to grow in faith. That's what causes you to be able to keep that unity, because we believe major things in the Bible and the words of God alike, and that provides a strong connection in the body. Feed and protect our church body. I don't want to ask this question because most of the hands are going to go up, and if they didn't go up, it's because you don't do this ordinarily anyway. You eat. I was going to say, how many of you ate breakfast this morning? I can raise my hand. I ate breakfast this morning. And around 30 years ago, I was made aware that it's important what you eat and when you eat it. And so I changed some things in my nutrition back then, and the doctor that instructed me in that told me, you're not going to see any immediate benefit, but when you're older, okay, so I'm there now, you're going to realize the benefit of the decisions you've made. You know what? He's right. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've eaten well and eaten at the right time and you're suffering with health problems, that this solves all health problems. But it will, I tell you what it will do. It will help you. Now, I'm not going to preach on that. What I'm telling you is, as we cherish and nourish our bodies by feeding them properly, we likewise should cherish and nourish our body by feeding this body. Nourishing food, good food, something that will strengthen you. So we feed our bodies with nourishing food. They strengthen us and strengthen our immune system to protect us. Then the members of our body here in our local church should be well fed. Why? So you don't get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, one of the things I really enjoy about grandkids, and of course, it didn't last long. Doesn't last long. Eloise is going from a little bundle of love to a cannonball. So it's only, you know, it's only so long you can do this. But it's fun like that when they want to go back to mom or daddy or like that, you know. And you take them and you go, one, right, two, three, oops. No. And they catch them like that, and the kids all laugh and all that. You know what that is? That's being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. May I tell you one of the easiest ways for you to get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine is to spend more time on the internet than in here. Because there's every kind of craziness out there. Now, if you have some discernment and you know that what good food lines up with good doctrine so that it assists you, I'm not saying it's all bad. There's some good stuff out there. But there's also some bad stuff out there. And you don't want to get tossed. So, you know, what happens is people will come here and they'll get a good dose of some basic doctrine and say, okay, that's right. And then you start hearing things that match up and you're like, this is strengthening my faith. It's not causing me to go wishy-washy. You know, I get to travel around the country and preach in various churches, as you know. And invariably, somebody will come up and they'll say, well, I saw this and that and the other thing on the, and what do you think about that? And I'm thinking to myself, why are you tied up with that doctrine that is causing so much dissension, division, and confusion in the body of Christ? Why don't you get down to the basic stuff that helps you to live instead of tangled up in that nonsense? So same way, we don't tangle up our own bodies with, well, we shouldn't anyway, with craziness. And we don't want to certainly do the same thing here. We want to feed and protect this body. Now, again, I'd like you to see a cross-reference passage, so keep your finger where you are and look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul, before he went to Jerusalem, called the elders of Ephesus to come so he could give them some instruction because he was pretty sure he was never going to get to see them again. Ephesians chapter 20. And these elders of Ephesus came over there because he wanted to make sure that they could take care of their local congregations. What did I say? Ephesians chapter 20 or Acts chapter 20? Okay. Whatever I said, I'm in Acts 20, wherever you are. That's where we're going. Okay. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Recently, I had the opportunity to visit with a pastor. We've got a church of about 100 people. I know this pastor very well, and he feeds his sheep. I say his sheep. Feeds the folks that are in there, the flock, very well. And he cares for them very well, and he's protective. A man came and joined the church, and it became evident that this was a wolf in sheep's clothing. This was a man who was there to attempt to draw disciples after him. And he had a lot of experience on how to do it. And he was beginning to disturb the sheep. And he was really beginning to disturb the pastor because he recognized the sheep are going to get hurt here. This church is going to be hurt here by this man. And so, long story short, he sought some counsel. Several of us visited with him. We prayed. And you know, he had to get with principal men in his congregation to help them to understand what was going on. And sure enough, on a service one evening, this wolf showed up after he'd been confronted by the pastor and told, do not come here anymore to do what you're doing. But he had already told those men, and I will tell you, 15 of those men gathered together like an army. And said, you will not enter and destroy this church. You won't. And so he eventually moved on after the police were called. And you know, the pastor said it was interesting that these men came into unity and realized we have to stand for the protection of this body. That man was introducing stuff here to destroy this church. And it brought them closer together. And it brought them in greater care for the people that were in the church. That's a remarkable thing. That's kind of what Paul was, not kind of, that's what he was contemplating here. There are men, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This guy would lay in wait till he could strike, but those guys caught on to it and foiled his attempt to destroy that church and sent him on his way. That's a good thing. We need to unite the church body and feed and protect our church body. But that's not all. We need to love our church body. Look again with me in verse 14. that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, I'd gone back to the text. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, verse 15, you're in the principal place where we need. But speaking the truth, what are the next two words? In love. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see that? In love. Look at Paul's description of Jesus Christ's relationship to His church. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. You see that? Christ loves the church. And Christ loves our church. We need to love our church too. You know, the attitude of many pastors, and I hate to admit when I got started that I had this attitude, so I include myself among them initially. The attitude of many pastors is that sheep just need feeding, watering, and skinning. Plenty of shearing. Man, I was handy with that shear trying to get that reproof and that rebuke out there. I'd love 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Just the way I started, you know, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is not working out too well. I've talked to other pastors, they've done the same thing. I talked to a pastor one time and I said, you're a great preacher, but there's an element that has changed in your preaching. There seems to be more care and compassion, and I don't understand what happened. And he goes, well, I got tired of seeing sheep leave out the back door of the church beaten and bloodied and realized I was the one that had done it. And so he added that element of real care and love. And I think, you know, that's something that comes on all of us. Even when you come and first join the church, you don't know anybody. You know, slowly but surely you want to be united into the church and fed and protected and realize, hey, wait, this is a good place. This is where God wants me to be. And start building some relationships and start loving and being loved by people who really do care for you. Relationships are nurtured in these souls. You know, sometimes some of us are more kind of just keep to ourselves, maybe more introverted. And I told you the story when we were back in the metal building of one more introverted couple that would come and just go sit in the seats, you know, and wouldn't go over there where people were having a cup of coffee and having a little fellowship before the service. And he said, you know, the people in your church aren't very friendly. And I said, I didn't want to say, well, neither are you. But I said, you know what? Let me make a suggestion. Next time you come in the door, instead of going right to go in where we sit, why don't you go left over there where they're hanging around that? Stick your hand out and tell them who you are and shake their hand. Well, I went back to see him about 3 weeks later, and I said, so how you doing? He goes, man, those are a bunch of friendly people over there. Okay, so the idea is we begin to build relationships with other people that God has brought here because He does want us to love and be loved in our church. And, you know, honestly, the love that we have for each other stems from our love for the Lord. And I'll tell you this, honestly. You'll see it in your marriages if you haven't seen it yet, and you'll see it here. The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you love His people. That's the truth. Sometimes when there's difficulty in your relationships with people that are in God's family, sometimes the problem is actually symptomatic of a bit of problem that you're having in your relationship with the Lord. And if you will really concentrate on loving the Lord, you'll find that God's people are easier to love than they were. because you'll recognize how much God loves us and how much He loves you. You know, this is a very important thing. When you hear people talk about the qualifications for a pastor, they will immediately go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And you might know that, you know. He that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. And then he starts running down the list. But I honestly think that the principal, I think those are characteristics, but I would like to say I think the principal qualifications for pastoring are actually in John chapter 21. You know, after Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he came back and found Peter and had a conversation with him. You remember what he said. Peter, do you love me? And you know how the conversation went. He asked Peter that three times. And so he said to Peter, Peter said, yes, and some other words, but he said, okay, then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. You love me? You know I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. I think those are the principal qualifications. You love them and you feed them. You've heard it said before. I guess it bears repeating. They'll never care how much you know until they know you care. And we get along better when there's love. You know that. You get along better in your marriage. You get along better in your family. We get along better with each other. When we make that effort to say, that's this body of believers is under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and belongs to Him. He loves them. I'm going to love them too. It's important. So we unite the body, our church body. We feed and protect our church body. We love our church body, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And then what do? Verse 16. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. You know, I guess I should say, because John wrote this, you know, how can we say, he says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see how those two are connected? Very, very important. All right, now verse 16. Here's the next thing. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. See that unity? And now it's fitly joined together, just like your body is. Your knees are where they belong. Your ankles are where they belong. And they function well. The ankle cannot function as a knee. It's not built that way. And the knee cannot function as an ankle. It's not built that way. And that's all joined to the hip bone, and you know the rest of the story. The whole body fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. How many parts of the body are functioning in verse 16? Every part. Every joint. We all have a mutual responsibility to each other. If my brain says to my body, we need to go over there to that chair, and my feet don't cooperate, I can get there, but it's going to be not going to be very easy. Okay? But if my feet cooperate with my brain, and my eyes cooperate with my feet, and my shoulders, you know, I had shoulder surgery, whatever, more than 10 years ago. It's amazing. Everything you do seems to have some effect on your shoulder. Come on, Ann, let's go walk around the block. Wow, this hurts. I'm like, my feet are moving, but my shoulder's involved. So anyway, everything cooperates. All these joints, all these muscles, all this sinew, all this everything is involved in getting me over here and sitting me down. And so that's a highly functional body, and that's what the Lord wants, is He wants a highly functional body. So what do we need to do? In addition to uniting our church body and feeding and protecting our church body and loving our church body, we need to serve our church body. You know, God put us here initially so we could get something to begin to strengthen us, but He kept us here so we could give something back to the rest of the body. I function, you function, we function together. Every joint supplieth, verse 16 says, the effectual working in the measure of every part. You know, that's one of the reasons that we'll have this new members or prospective new members luncheon today. is just to show you places and opportunities that where you can serve and how you can serve and what may be required of you in order to be able to serve, depending on whether you're working with children or not. Okay? And so it's important. I think sometimes we do a better job of this than we do at other times. We should take time with souls when they join the church to help them understand membership in a local church involves serving the body in some capacity. Each member of my body has a responsibility to the rest of the body, and each member of this body really has a responsibility to each other member of this body. We're functioning in order to accomplish what God wants to do. Now, take for instance, you know, we've got three men that have been training, and then there's various things that are going on from this ministry, and we could talk about that. But I said the other day, with these men going on about the work that God's going to do, I wonder who God's going to raise up in their place to continue on in other things that God wants to do. All right, well, let's just, okay, I'm going to pick on somebody, but it's okay. Because I'm not going to say anything that he's going to wish I hadn't picked on him. Will Avent. Little William. Not little. He's, you know, one of these days I'm going to be like, hey, William, how you doing? All right, you know how many people have already been involved in preparing him for whatever God wants him to do? Parents, friends of the parents, Sunday school teachers, youth pastor, right? As he continues to grow in the ministry, his pastor, opportunities that he has to serve, he's been able to go out with us on occasion, passing out tracts and learning how to do all that. What if, I have to be careful with this, God were to call him at some point to train more for something that he wants him to do in the ministry. May I tell you, there are a lot of people that will have had influence in that young man's life. Bible clubs, back when we used to do master's clubs, all those other kind of things, and a complete body of believers praying for his development in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? That's a body. I think the book said it takes a village. It doesn't take a village, it takes a body. It takes a church. And when I look at that and I consider that perhaps some of the people that will be doing something like that, let me just add this little caveat before I continue on for his sake, and I'll do it publicly. No pressure. No pressure. Sometimes we see potential in people and we scare them away. You follow God, you'll be where He wants you to be. No matter what it is, it'll be good. But it's nice to know that God's used a lot of people to have a hand. And I'm looking around here at a lot of people who've already had involvement and others who will. That's a church. And when we serve in that body, we're affecting a lot of people's lives, and not only just affecting the work of the church, but the people's lives that are in the church because of the mutual benefit of service one to another, right? Very, very. So we serve our church body. You know, and right at first, you don't know where. We always tell people who come here from another church or something, just sit a while. Just don't even worry about that. I know you've been maybe used to serving, very active. Don't worry about that, right? Just sit down, kind of get used to it, see where God wants you, sort of get a feel of things, recover from whatever it is that, you know, for the reason you left there to get here, get acquainted with the territory and the people. In time, it'll be evident your gifts and the needs, and they'll match, and you'll see where to serve. And it matches up very nicely. So I told you five things, right? How many have we done? Four. And I got a thumb on my hand, so we'll do number five. And it's also in verse 16. I'll start with the beginning of the verse again. I'll emphasize it when we get to the end. It's a piece of it is in verse 15 as well. So we'll read from verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may, what are the next two words? Grow up. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, watch it, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. There's that word again, in love. All right? So we have these things. We unite our church body. We feed and support our church body. We love our church body. We serve our church body. I'm so thankful on Wednesday nights when I hear a praise. I want to praise the Lord for our church, people will say. The people who prayed for me through this situation. I want to thank the Lord for our church body, the people who came and helped me when I had to do this, that, or the other thing. I want to praise the Lord for our church body, how many people were able to help me through this or pray for me through this. You know what that is? That's that serving, right? One another. And then this, grow our church body. Grow our church body. You see here he says here in verse 15 that we may grow up. Wouldn't it be something if I was still the same size that I was when I was 5 years old?
Okay, everybody, I want you to turn now to Ephesians chapter 4.
Where's our preacher? He's there.
Oh, y'all just make me so mad.
You know, you know, it's like, you got to grow up! Right? So we grow up. And church is a great place to grow up. Where did you grow up? People say, I grew up in church. That's a great thing. And even while we're here, we continue to grow because always in our natural bodies, we are changing and things are happening. We start growing things that aren't even supposed to be on our bodies when we get older, but we're growing, right? And so same here. We grow up in here as we mature. But you know what? Then as we mature, we don't keep it all to ourselves because we recognize there are other people who don't know what we know who need to know what we know. And so then we... Verse 16, make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, soul winning is not merely about leading souls to Christ. Now, I don't know why it is this way, but it has been. There are a number of people in Corpus Christi that I've been able to lead to the Lord, and they're not here. They're in, I don't know, other churches and various other kind of things. I'm not here to explain that. Some are back in Beeville, but some of you got saved, and I was there when you got saved. And now you're here. And when God does that, what he intends for us to do is lead them and then incorporate them, if he's bringing them this way, into the church so they can grow up and the body can increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, because the body of Christ grows up. It's described in Ephesians chapter 2 as a building, and each additional soul, you know, Jesus said, my body is the temple. Each additional soul completes that temple, and it'll be completed one day. And Jesus will take his church to be with him in heaven. So as the members grow, we reproduce. As the members grow, we reproduce. I remember... When we were growing up and we spent our summers on the ranch, we had a heifer feeding program. And the idea was that once the heifers were weaned, then we fed them because they were ready to put them into the rotation of breeding so that they would all calve about the same time. So there was pretty good feeding on to get them up to the right weight to reproduce. So that's what we're trying to do with some of you. We're trying to get you up to the right weight. Fatten you up a little bit, amen, so you can reproduce. That's the point. And really and truly, it really is the neatest thing in the world that I've watched on Wednesday night prayer meetings. Early on, most of the prayer requests were sick people to either help them get through a surgery or get out of the hospital or something like that. Now more and more of the prayer requests are for lost people to get saved. That is a wonderful thing. You know what that is? That's people telling other people who don't know Jesus about getting saved so that the body of Christ will make increase of itself unto the edifying of itself in love. As we reproduce, the body grows. Saturday, the Pinas were able to do door knocking down in Kingsville where the Bible study is starting. A lady got saved. Friday, a couple in our church brought a person who's been here, would be here today, but she's sick. Brought a lady here Friday who had listened to the preaching. We sat down in the kitchen over there while the carpets were drying here. They've all been freshly cleaned. And she's sitting there. She got saved. And there are people that go to the ships and men get saved. Tony goes to the jail and men get saved. And you're telling people that don't know Jesus Christ and they get saved. And that's what we pray for and that's what we desire to do. That's what a healthy body does. Right? So we unite the body. We feed and protect the body. We love the body. We serve our church body. And we grow our church body. If somebody that you know that God wants you to reach with the testimony of the gospel that you have to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, so Jesus Christ can reap the reward of His sacrifice when He died for them on the cross of Calvary. You know what? Our attitude toward local church really changes for the better when we realize that our local church is a part of the body of Christ. As much as Christ loves His body, we should love our church. And to the degree that we love our local church, we should unite our church and feed and protect our church and serve our church and grow our church for His glory, for His honor, and to accomplish His work on earth. Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to be able to be instructed out of the Word of God, something so very, very clearly stated for our benefit. Today, Father, I pray that we do truly, truly have a great appreciation for the fact that You have brought us together here for the very purposes which we have learned today. Father, I know we have folks that are visiting with us today, and perhaps what they've heard is helping them understand, I've got to find a church home. Lord, direct me where You want me to be. And perhaps something they heard today would indicate to them, hey, this is a place I need to come visit more often. I need to see if this is where it is. Or maybe it's where they've been that they need to be. It's just as Your Holy Spirit leads. I just pray, Father, this really helps them to understand what we have here that You've given us is really something worth having. So beneficial, so blessed, so honoring and glorifying to You. Father, we pray for us. There are people here today that serve. We pray we'll be encouraged to continue to do so. Father, there are some of us here that are close but need to get closer in unity and love with each other. There are some of us here, Father, that have been served well, and it's now time for us to look for that place of service. I pray, Heavenly Father, there are also those that work very diligently in a lot of our children's and youth ministries, and I pray they're encouraged today to recognize they're laying a solid groundwork upon which the children growing up in this ministry can truly live the rest of their lives. And I pray, Father, we'll be able to do what we do with joy and gladness, boldness and zeal, bringing honor and glory to You. For we ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.